Well, it's great to be back with you again, and back from my travels. I've been on some family travels, and last week I was away at the church weekend away. So it's really nice to be back with everybody together. Isn't it lovely to be here, all together again after last week? In this series, which we're finishing today, we've been thinking about stories, haven't we? And I wonder where you feel we are in our story at the moment, in the story of our church. How do you feel that we're doing? That is slightly rhetorical, but I would also like to hear from you. So if you would like to tell me where you feel we are and how we're doing, then do email me or maybe say something at the AGM or come and see me afterwards. I'd be really interested to know other people's sense of where we are. In the last few weeks, we've been thinking about God's story. We've also been thinking about how we each have our own story, our big story of our lives, and the story of what's happening to us at the moment. And we have also been thinking about how we can connect with other people by listening to their stories and then opening up conversations from that. And last week was a really good episode in the collective story of our church, wasn't it? And I hear that there was good discussion here for those people who weren't on the weekend, sharing personal stories and hearing about the story of Hebron. And quite a number of us were away in Poole. I think I put a, this is actually, this is a photo from it, and I think that was in the, a slightly more funky one was in the Hebron Herald, and I'm sure there'll be more in due course so that everybody can be reminded of what we did. We were listening and learning together and thinking about together where God's leading us. But all those stories are still going on. We're in the middle of them. And sometimes it is hard to see the bigger picture, isn't it? And Jane has been putting together a collective story of our church by encouraging us to fill in those puzzle pieces. I think most people might have seen one. If you haven't, feel free to get one. It helps us to fill out our story and see how it all fits together. And because there's no edges, there's always room to add more on, so everybody can be included in the story. At the AGM after the service today, we're going to have a chance to reflect. And our annual report is kind of like a chapter in our story, isn't it? It captures what's been going on. And I really encourage you to read it if you haven't already. I've read it cover to cover. And it is really, it looks like there's loads going on, doesn't it? Read it and see what else has been going on in areas of the church that perhaps you're not connected with. The report is great, but it's not the whole story, is it? We know that there's more to life than what we see. And so we're going to take a bit of a chance this morning to look behind the scenes and reflect on our spiritual story in this church. And I wanted to root this reflection in the Bible, and I've chosen a speech by Peter that Peter here, not the other Peter, referred to earlier in the service. It's interesting to see how Peter, the Apostle Peter, interprets the events that he's talking about. And it teaches us something about God. And it teaches us about God's involvement in all stories, our story, their story, the big story of who we are in life. And the speech is that I've chosen is which Peter gives is in Acts 2. Many of you will know it as the day of Pentecost. The Spirit of God has fallen on the people, and Peter begins by explaining what's going on because everything looks like it's in chaos. He sees prophetically that this thing that's happening then is that thing that was promised many years before. But then Peter also goes on to put the events of the recent months that people have been living through in the context of that bigger story, in the context of the story of God as a whole and the story of the people of God who are listening to him. And the people listening to Peter, they would have been caught up in all the activity that had been going on. Perhaps they're a bit too close to see what was happening. So Peter is taking this chance to say, "This is what I see, and this is where God's working. Let's understand how God works in our stories." So we're going to read a part of the speech from Acts 2, starting at verse 22. Just going to go. Oh, there we go. Did you do that or did I do that? Oh, good then. That's good. I'll be able to do it again. Okay, now to save me struggling to read it from such a distance, we can read. This is Peter speaking. People of Israel, people of God, he's saying, listen, God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders and signs through him, as you well know. Now, I've taken the chance to paraphrase a little bit what Peter's saying. He's saying that to the people, but to us, he could be saying, you know about the life of Jesus. You've believed the testimony of the scriptures and you've experienced the work of God in your life. Peter's saying that this is your starting point. This is what you've known and experienced. This is where we're going from. We are part of this story and we know our place in it. Now he goes on to say to the people, he says, but God knew what would happen and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to the cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. Now he's interpreting what happens. And if we put it in a more generalized way, we could say this is true for us as it was for them. In life, difficult and challenging things happen, don't they? But none of it is a surprise to God. God may not be the author of bad things that happen, but neither are they new to him. His plan, it includes them. Not even death can stand in the way. So this isn't the story that maybe the people of God had expected. Things can happen that seem to put the story off track. And that was certainly true for Peter before Jesus died, when he was a disciple. He wouldn't have anticipated this thing that's happened being part of the story. But he sees now that this is part of God's plan and that the things which God has had in mind have still come through. And I think that can be the case in our own lives and also in the life of this church. I wonder whether some things have happened over the years in this church that have perhaps knocked people's confidence. Not maybe your confidence in God. I feel like people have a strong faith and confidence in God, but a confidence in the ability of this church to recover and still become all that it could be. Let's see what Peter says next. He says, God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses to that. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honour in heaven, at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out on us, just as you see and hear today. So what truth about God is being communicated in this? Peter's telling us that the intentions of God will be fulfilled. Nothing will be lost or compromised. And what you see today is a part of God's promise. And I think that we can take that promise for ourselves as well. Whatever's happened in the past, God's intentions and promises will stand. As Peter said at the beginning of the service, you know, Jesus became the Lord and King. Even though all these unexpected things happened, still God's plan was able to unfold. We're not limited by what's happened in the past. Perhaps there's things that have happened here that we didn't choose. Perhaps there's things that we might have done or not done that we regret. But through Peter's words, God is saying that we can be confident that the future is still as bright as it ever was, and that God's promises are still as certain as they ever were. Promises like that he says to Peter, I will build my church. And God is building this church, isn't he? And I know that over the history of a church, churches often carry promises which they feel can wax and wane in their history. But if they're promises from God, they will stand as surely as God exists, because God does exist and he is working to bring through the intention of his promises. So What have I seen in our spiritual story in the year since I've been here? Well, I think, and I've said before, that I've seen that this is a faithful church. It's a church which holds the Bible in high value as the Word of God. It's a church which knows and loves Jesus and wants to follow him. And it's a church that's committed to sharing faith with this village. And it's articulated really well in the words of our vision of enabling every adult and child to encounter the love of Jesus in some way. And I know that over the years, and now we have some great touch points with the community. We've got Come and See, Saturdads, Kids Club, all really great. But even so, over the last few years, I think perhaps things have been a little bit quiet and uneventful. Not helped, of course, by having the pandemic, but there's been a sense of keeping things going rather than being able to spread out and spread our wings. And but I think when I came, and I can see now over this year, that it's a real testament to your desire to see things change, that you actually took the step of looking for somebody else, looking for a new leader. And not only that, but you followed through with the process, because I used to be in recruitment and I know how hard it is. And I know that when you're already at capacity, to do something like that on top is really difficult. And I also felt that when you chose me to be the leader, you didn't actually choose a very standard option. You chose something which wasn't perhaps in a box. And that said to me that you were willing to take a risk. And I think that's like a bit of a prophetic step that opens up a freedom for us to see where we might go. Because you're opening up the possibilities. I know when I started a year ago, I talked at the welcome service, you might remember, I know many of you were there, about the fact that I sensed that the resources we needed were already laid down in this church. And I have to say that my feeling of that really hasn't changed. For me, this year has been a year of really uncovering the treasures that I see in each person here and bringing them out into the light. I've loved it. As I've got to know each person and, you know, we've talked, I'm like, oh, I think you could do this. I think you could do that. I think you'd enjoy doing this. And I feel like many of you, I've got some little thing going on that we're kind of really enjoying doing together. It's been great. I've loved it. It's not really about working harder, although I do have to admit that it has been hard work sometimes, and especially for some of you. But it's really about realising what's there, isn't it? And calling it out so that it can be seen and shine in the light. It's kind of like waking up in us what's dormant and watching it come to life. That's what I felt. And I felt, especially recently, that there's kind of like a bit of excitement starting to flow. I don't know whether you've noticed that, but if you haven't, maybe it'll ripple out and it will, you know, touch you as well. Many of you will know Will, the art teacher, who has sort of become a slightly fringe person on this in this church. He's quite open about not being a Christian, but he came along to our barbecue service and the harvest service, and he was on the weekend away. And he says that this is the nicest church he's been to. Now, that's great, isn't it? That's what we want people to be thinking. He doesn't think he'll become a Christian, he told me. And we'll wait and see. But he thinks coming here is the closest that he's got. So I think that's great. But I tell him, because we do talk about it, I go to his art class on a Friday, I do tell him that actually he's already doing God's work. Because he's bringing out in people a God-given creativity, which he sees in his art pupils. And he sees it, in a way, he's seeing that creativeness, which is part of them being the image of God. And as he teaches art, when you listen to him, what he's really doing is encouraging the people to discover what they can do. And that usually means helping them to overcome their limitations, things that they've been told in the past, like you're no good at art, or you know, that's having their art scribbled on. He's got all sorts of stories of what people have told him. Things that they've carried from the past that have meant that they can't step into all that they were meant to be now in their creativity. And I just think that's a beautiful illustration of what God is doing with us. So for Will, the joy of his work is not the art, it's actually the people. And I think that's what God is doing with us here. He's encouraging us to step beyond things that we might have felt limited us, things from the past that, as Jonathan Ellis said on the weekend, perhaps we can let go of, and find a freedom to explore all that God has for each of us. We're just discovering what's already there in us. We haven't got to go beyond what we can, you know, ever be able to do. It is the things which God's put in us that we're bringing out into the light and helping them to shine. I'll tell you one area where I feel like I've seen this starting to happen a bit. When I started here, I could sense a bit of an aversion to the thought of anything that might be called evangelism. I heard it expressed, I'm not doing any evangelism. And I have to say, I'm not, you know, a rampant evangelist myself. I know that I want people to share the faith, but me actually going out and doing it, you know, is a bit of a barrier as well. So I'm with you. But I have noticed since I've been here, and especially recently, I'm a bit of a shift. In this series where we've been talking about stories, I feel like the ideas that we've had going around have kind of landed a bit easily. It's kind of like people have thought, maybe that would be possible for me. I think on the weekend away, Jonathan Ellis was calling us to be ready to talk about our faith and make sense of you know, what was being said, of being able to speak into conversations, things from our own story and building on what other people shared in their stories. And I had a sense that people came away feeling like a bit inspired and encouraged, rather than feeling like, oh, we ought to do evangelism. Do you know that feeling? I'm sure you all do. And sort of being driven by the duty of it. And I invited us at the weekend, as we came to the end, didn't I, to think about how we might answer that question, what have you done at the weekend? If somebody asked on Monday or Tuesday, what did you do at the weekend? How could you answer it in a way that included something about God or Christianity or faith? And during the week, I saw some people from church. And you know, I saw two people who were actually disappointed that they didn't get asked. Like, isn't that amazing that there was two people who were disappointed they didn't get a chance to share their faith? Isn't that a turnaround from feeling like a little bit apprehensive about what if I have to say something? And not only that, but one of those people was Will, the art teacher. When I went to my art class, it was the first thing he says, oh, nobody asked me what I did at the weekend. And he's not even a Christian. So you can see how he's getting caught up in this sense of excitement that we've got going. And so I don't want to miss the opportunity to ask, did anyone here get asked, what did you do at the weekend? Or have a chance to say what they did at the weekend? Oh, Hannah, I am prepared with the roving mic in case of answers. Yeah, who did somebody ask you?
Yeah, so I was checking in one of my patients on Tuesday morning because I did a bank shift at work. I went to help them as I usually do, and they went, so I said, he said, are you supposed to be here because you look too happy to, like,
yeah.
I was like, well, no, actually, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm doing an extra shift and I've had the whole weekend off and I'm really happy about, like, coming back actually. And he went, so what did you do to make you that happy? So I was like, oh, I looked after some teenagers at the weekend away. And he was like, who were you with? And it was like, our church. And he was like, oh, I'm Christian too. It's like, oh, not another Christian. So it was a little bit disappointing. Because it's always the Christians that ask me what I did. And then it just kind of, it's a bit of a downer then.
That's still great though, because that's three people who are disappointed they couldn't share their faith with a non-Christian. Isn't that amazing? Did anybody else? Lisa, did you get asked?
Well, a Christian friend knew that I was going for a weekend, so she wanted the full book, chapter and verse, so she had that. And a non-Christian that I'm very friendly with, I said, I know, she asked, did I have a good time? And I sort of told her exactly what we did, and my son wanted to know what I did, so, yeah, it was great. It wasn't out-and-out witnessing, if you know what I mean, but, you know, they knew that God was in it, so...
That's great. I think that's great. It just opens up the conversation. Yeah. We don't want to scare people off, and it just means the next time we can take another step, can't we? I think that's great. Margot, were you going to? Hello?
Yeah, well, first of all, Monday morning, I met up with friends from work for a coffee, and I was like, so what did you do this weekend? And they answered my question. They didn't then say, so what did you do there? but on Tuesday, I chatted with somebody that I don't know that well, but I was able to say we'd been away for the weekend, and it was really great because I just talked about how we can't hold on to God and everything else. I talked about the monkey putting their hand in the jar, and you kind of you need to let go of the things that you're focusing on to be able to focus on God. And I said I felt like, you know, like it was easy to get my priorities wrong and focus on trying to do everything myself, and that didn't work out, you know, it didn't ever work out well, does it? But that I was trying to focus on God instead and hold on to him. And so we then kind of had a bit of a conversation, and she kind of agreed in a kind of non-God way, but it kind of made sense. So I was really pleased that I'd shared it.
That's really good, really good. And a bit of recollection of what we were talking about last week as well. Did anybody else get asked? I know not everybody here was at the weekend. Eileen? Let's pass it along for Eileen.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
We were asked by friends who knew we were coming and who had previously been on a weekend away with us. They're, one of them is a Christian and one's not. And she wanted to know all what we did at the weekend. So we were able to chat about that.
Yeah.
But as I say, I don't think we can get them to come again with us. Do you? No. But, so we were asked, yes.
It's all about putting it out there, isn't it? As Jonathan said, people's responses are their responsibility, aren't they? Our responsibility is just to share, and actually having thought beforehand, what will I say? It meant we were prepared to take the opportunity, wasn't it? So we could even be doing that if somebody says to you tomorrow or the next day, what did you do at the weekend? What could you say about today? You know, it's quite a key day in the life of our church, having the AGM. And can we say that in a way that, you know, talks about God's faithfulness with us and God's leading and how we believe in something outside of ourselves which has influence in our lives? Something like that. I think well done to everybody who shared. That's good. So in a minute, we're going to be coming to our AGM, and we have the annual report, which, as I've said, is really looking at the things that have happened over this year in terms of our structures, our processes, and in our ministries. But the spiritual report is all about, like, how the people are growing, isn't it? And I feel like there's a growing confidence about what's possible for each person and what's possible for us in the church. And I like it because it feels like a sort of comfortable confidence, doesn't it? It feels realistic, not like something that is out of reach. And I feel like there's a bit of an expectation about what could come next. I see in this year that we've had the barbecue, which is always a big success and was a big success again this year. We also followed up with the harvest service. So we're getting a bit of track record with people who come to things at the church. People who come along, they've enjoyed it. Does that give you confidence? Does it give you confidence to invite people to the next thing, to the Christmas services? Because you know that it's going to be good. And I can assure you, it is going to be good. I've done a lot of collaborating with Richard Greenaway, and we've got a great little story shape coming through, which is going to engage like a wide range of people. I know Helen and Rachel are working on the music. It's going to be a good event. It's going to be something which is going to, people are going to come to and feel like they've been in a village community atmosphere, surrounded by God, and hearing the truth of what Christmas is all about. So we have an opportunity to invite friends and neighbours. And really, as we invite people, we put up posters, we share stories, we put up bunting and Christmas decorations, and we improve what how we look online and also in real life. People are intrigued, aren't they? And some of those people are going to come to church and want to find out what's behind it. And I feel as well that just this week, I feel like God has given me a bit more vision to see where we could be headed. I can see now that we're on a path to being a lively, local, village church, a bit bigger and busier than we are now, because that is the direction we're headed in. We're going to be a church which has a visibility in the community, where things happen that people think, oh yeah, that's going on there, they do that sort of thing, where people are interested, and some of those people who are interested will come along and find out more. I think we're just starting to get the ball rolling, so there's, you know, it's like engaging with new ways of doing things, but I really hope and pray, and I expect that we'll see more fruit as we keep doing the stuff and building on everything that we already have. And in that process, we'll also keep growing ourselves, won't we? So that we all shine like stars, like it says in Philippians. And we can each grow into all that God has for us. And so I'm going to finish with some words from Paul, which Paul wrote. And they're also from his letter to the Philippians. And I pray it for us as a church, and for us individually. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And after the service, we will come to the AGM. And if you have any thoughts or reflections, please do share them. You can just make a comment in the section on with the questions and answers for the leaders report if you'd like to, or let me know afterwards where you feel we are and anything that you sense that God might be leading us into. Thank you.